Good morning, church. It is great to be back with you. And this is my first podcast. Thank you, Pastor Carmelo, for carrying it so much. Look, we're going to get straight into it. For those of you who are new with us, we are currently going through the Sermon on the Mount series. And this was, of course, Jesus' inaugural speech to the world. And he starts out the Sermon on the Mount with Beatitudes, nine little points that he talks about the kingdom of heaven and what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And so before we get into it, we're going to grab our Bibles, grab your phone, wherever your Bible is stored, and we're just going to say this declaration together. And I believe that my Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I believe what it says about God. I believe what it says about my past and my present and my future. I believe my Bible is the highest authority in my life, and I believe God is going to use it to speak to me today. And so we're up to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. And it's we'll read it together. It says, "For blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And it's an interesting thing because the first of the Beatitudes was that the poor in spirit would have the kingdom of heaven. And here we are again coming towards the end of the Beatitudes with the kingdom of heaven being mentioned yet again, except this time there's a blessing for those who are persecuted for righteousness. And it can be a difficult thing to sort of understand, why would Jesus be saying there is a blessing in persecution? True, because blessed basically means happy. So happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And it's an odd one to try and get your head around. I think like me, you'll find the key to understanding this blessedness by understanding where you've come from and who you are now and where you're going. Think about this. I think you'll find the blessedness of this beatitude is seen in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. It says that we were once enemies of God. That means you and I were once enemies of God. Not that we weren't buddies, but that we were actually in opposition to God. What God wanted for us and what we wanted for us were completely opposite things. We were enemies of God. And then consider this. We rebelled and retaliated because of that enmity between us. We were not friends with God. And so here's the problem. God didn't remove us. We removed ourselves. It's our unrighteousness that conflicted with his righteous standard that made us enemies of each other. It was us that ripped us apart. That's what Romans 5 verse 12 says, is that what through one man sin entered. And that's the division that's between man and God, is our sin that has separated us from God. Now, Jesus comes and he offers us new birth, and through him we can be born again. And then we go through this process of sanctification, this separating, this setting apart. And so we're not just born again and left on our own. The Holy Spirit begins a process of changing us from the inside out. And through the Holy Spirit's leading and our following his leading, we become sanctified. It's not just the Holy Spirit doing it. It's not us changing. It's this cooperative work between the two of us. Now think about this. You're once enemies. You're born again. You're being sanctified. It was our unrighteousness that actually separated us from God. And here's the kicker. Now that the Holy Spirit is working in you, you're born again, you've been made right. And this righteous standard now, once that righteous standard that offended you and separated you from God is now in you, working in you, you are now a representative of God. That's incredible. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says that we are now his ambassadors. Wow. Now that is a privileged position. And you and I are called to be righteous standard holders. We're meant to carry the banner of righteousness. And that is an incredible privilege. Isn't that an incredible privilege? And so the reason Jesus says to us that you're blessed if you are persecuted for righteousness is because you are being persecuted for holding a right standard. And I think that's an incredible privilege for each and every one of us to have that privilege, that blessedness of being persecuted for righteousness. Now, you're not going to be happy because you're persecuted, but you're going to be happy because of the reason you're being persecuted. It's not persecution is not something to look forward to, except that in that persecution there is a meaning. Why are you being persecuted? Because it's one of the greatest honors to stand for righteousness and be persecuted for it. You know, Christians should expect to be persecuted, don't you think? I mean, if we are representing God and we're representing his standard, there should be an expectation that we will be persecuted. Again, not something you look forward to, but what it means is if you are being persecuted for righteousness, not because you're a goose or because you love to fight or you're a troublemaker, but because you're standing for righteousness, it's a blessing because it's reinforcing that you are standing for what is right. And we're not talking about, you know, fighting over who, you know, preferences like red jelly beans and green jelly beans. We're talking about principles, things that are at our very, very core, things that we stand for, fight for, live for, die for. When we stand for principles, right standards, it confronts people. The same way God's righteous standard confronted you and caused you to retaliate, you've got to expect that if you stand for that same standard as his ambassador, then you too will be persecuted for righteousness. And it's not a new thing. With this persecution of the righteous by the wicked is not new. You've only got to go back to Genesis and you'll find the first two kids, Cain and Abel, one was righteous and one was wicked. And the wicked one persecuted, killed the righteous one. This is nothing new. We've got to expect that if we have a righteous standard, that the wicked are not going to like it. And here's the point. It's totally natural. It's natural that in our rebellious state, we kick and rebel against God. And it's natural that those who have not yet been born again, not yet got the Holy Spirit working in them, that they too should retaliate against us, rebel against the righteous standard that we're suggesting is right. If you stop and think about a time maybe that you've been persecuted, maybe there was a time that comes to mind where you decided to stand for righteousness. Well, were you opposed? Like if you saw something that was wrong and you said, this is not okay anymore, this has got to stop. Were you opposed? Were you persecuted? Were you picked on? Were you made to feel ostracized? See, it's not easy, but if you're going to stand for something, you've got to expect opposition. And it's natural. That's the point I want you to get out of this message. If you have opposition, if you have persecution because you've stood for a righteous standard, be encouraged. Jesus says you're actually blessed because you're standing for something, and opposition is guaranteed if you stand for something. Now, we as Christians should most certainly expect opposition. We should most certainly expect persecution. But do you realize there are non-Christians who stand for righteous things? You know, in a recent referendum in our country where we talked about the marriage equality bill, and, you know, the country was divided, you know, between a yes and a no vote. And the thing is, I know this might be awful to hear, but there were many non-Christians who stood up and said, no, we don't want to see this marriage equality bill passed. Now, why was that? I mean, isn't it just the Christians who stand for righteousness? No, no. There are many people in the world who understand what it is between right and wrong. Though they might not know God, they might not love God, they do know righteousness. And some people actually love righteousness. The idea that something offensive should be permitted causes some people to rise up and say, no, we will not stand for this. And so it's not just a Christian persecution. So we're going to cover that one next week when the scripture says, verse 11 says that, blessed are you who are persecuted for Christ's sake. This is a different thing. This is about standing for righteousness, standing for what is right, and expecting persecution to come. It's natural. So what's Jesus saying? Should we run away and hide? Run from the wicked because, you know, we've got a righteous standard and they don't, and they'll never understand us. No, exactly the opposite. He's giving us due warning that persecution is coming. If you intend to stand for righteousness, persecution's coming right at you. And Jesus wants you to know, good on you. Keep up the good fight. Don't stop. Don't cower. Stand firm. You don't have to fight. You just have to stand. So if we're meant to experience persecution, if it's meant to be part of our human experience, our Christian experience, what does it mean if we're not? It's not a pleasant thought, is it? Well, it can only be two alternatives, really. One of them is that man's standard of righteousness is so high that it matches God's and there's no offense. Or it means that God's standard is so low that it matches man and there's no offense. Now, there is offense. There is offense between you and God and man, because we all have different standards. And the point is, we need to elevate our righteous standard. We need to be more aware of what the Holy Spirit is saying. We need to be more aware of what the Scripture is saying about right and wrong. It's not okay for us to go and determine that on our own preferences, our own whims, that this is right and this is wrong. We need to have a foundation for what we call right and wrong. And it's not you and it's not me. It's God and His standard. That's why I make that declaration before every service. I believe my Bible is the inspired, the inerrant and infallible Word of God. It's not going to change. The standard that He declares in His Word is never going to change. What God said was wrong 6,000 years ago is going to be wrong in 6,000 years' time. It's never going to change. What God said was right 6,000 years ago is going to be right in 6,000 years, should He tarry. But the point is, there is a righteous standard, and you and I as Christians are called to uphold that righteous standard. Not water it down, not filter out what we don't like. We're meant to stand and stand firm for what is right. What is righteousness? And this is what it is to be persecuted for righteousness, to have a natural opposition to a natural stance. So it's natural for the wicked to persecute the righteous because it comes naturally for them. And it's natural for a righteous person to be persecuted because they naturally uphold a righteous standard. And so that's the thing. If we are going to be persecuted, if it's guaranteed that persecution is coming to the righteous, why stand for it? Just told you the first reason is because it comes naturally to you. Certainly if you're a Christian, you've now got the Holy Spirit in you confirming a righteous standard is there. It's now natural. You have God's DNA in you. It is natural for you to want to stand up and get upset about unrighteous things happening, wicked things happening. It's natural that you see the wrong things happening around you and you get upset. You know, Jesus walked into the temple and He saw these guys exchanging money, and there's a long story behind that, but it was basically corrupt ministers in the church, and it made Jesus ropeable. And He sat down and He wove this whip. Imagine how long that took. And He made this whip by hand, and He got up and He kicked all these people out of the church, and He got so cranky about it, because it was a righteous indignation. He saw what was going on. He wasn't having a bad mood day. What He saw offended Him to His very core, and He took action. And so the first reason is it comes naturally to you. The second reason we should welcome and want the persecution of righteousness is because we are His ambassadors. We didn't just join the family of God. We were given this nameplate that says we now belong to God. We are an ambassador. When people see us, we are His emissaries. We are sent forward to proclaim the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven's standard. That's the second reason we are representatives of God. The third one is that the world needs it. The world needs a righteous standard to be raised up. The place is going to hell in a handbasket. It's incredible how quickly the world is decaying. The world needs those who know righteousness to stand up and declare what's right. You know, the world needs it so badly. You need it. Your family needs it. Your work needs it. Your church needs it. Your nation needs it. The globe needs it. The world needs a righteous people to stand up. And the fourth reason is, it's a better way to live. So it's much better to live under a righteous ruler than a wicked ruler. Proverbs 29:2 says that when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are there, they groan. Right? Everybody knows wicked and corrupt politicians and leaders and bosses, That's not a good way to live. Everybody knows it. A corrupt city is not a nice place to live. Everybody knows it. This is why we have got superheroes on every single magazine cover and every single TV show has superheroes. Heroes that stand up, people that stand up and at their own expense. See, this is what defines the superhero. It's not that they necessarily have a greater power than their villain. It's the fact that they will selflessly serve, whereas the villain selfly serves. They serve themselves the whole time. And so to hold up a righteous standard is a selfless way to live. It's not a selfish way to live. You are realizing that you are standing for something much greater than yourself, much bigger than yourself. You have a cause that is so much more important than your singular existence. You have this awareness of the impact that you can have if you stand up for something. So the world needs righteous superheroes to stand up. You are meant to be the righteous hero in your home. You're meant to be the righteous superhero in your work. You're meant to be the righteous superhero in your nation on this globe. It's up to you to uphold God's righteous standard. That's why you're here. You're here as his emissary. You're here as his ambassador. You are here to say, this is wrong. We won't stand for it. This is right. That's what it means to uphold a righteous standard. And if you do that, you'll be persecuted. Jesus is just telling you, expect it. It's coming. You can't stand against wickedness and not expect witnesses to retaliate. It's the same as when you stood against God. God held his righteous standard up and you retaliated. You rejected him. You became his enemy because you didn't want to come under his rule and his reign. And the wicked don't want to be told by God what to do. So, if you're a Christian, you should be expecting, you should also be experiencing opposition in your life. You should be experiencing it. In fact, if we're not really experiencing it because we're upholding a right standard, something's wrong. It means our standard is so low that it matches the world's, or the world's standard is so high that it matches God's. And I would pretty well hedge a large bet that it's not the latter, it's the former. It's the standard is so low that we're matching the world, and that's just not okay. We should have a higher standard. We should be constantly challenging the standards of the world, not bowing the knee to the standards of the world. We should constantly be saying, this is what is right. We're not after a fight, we're just gonna make a stand. And so in closing, here's what I wanna challenge you with. I just wanna encourage you. Here's a few little things that each and every one of us can do, even today. First of all, think about something that you believe is a principle that would make a difference in the world, something you believe firmly in. The second thing is check it for scriptural integrity. By that I mean, stand for a cause, fight for a cause that is scriptural. There's plenty of people in the world that are fighting to save trees and seals and all sorts of things. And look, I'm not mocking them. I'm just saying, I'm not going to lay down my life to save a seal. I'm not going to lay down my life and be persecuted to save a tree or a forest. I'm not going to lay down my life to fight and picket for speed limits to be changed in the local area. What I'm saying is find a cause that's real. Find a cause that's eternal. Find a principle that is really worth standing for. So when the persecution comes, you've got this sense, the persecution is worth it because the cause is greater. So pick a cause and make sure it's got a scriptural backing in it. And then do something about it. Make a call, write a letter, do something. Do anything that sets forward the righteous standard. And again, I'm not telling you to pick a fight. I'm simply telling you, choose something and do something. Don't sit back and go, oh, if only the world were different. If you got up and did something, the world would be different. If we all got together, if those who knew the righteous standard of God actually linked together and stood for a righteous standard, the world would be different. We wouldn't have to live in some wishful utopian dream, we would be living in a better world. And the world is not a mess because the world is so much more wicked now than it ever was. The world is a mess because those who have the righteous standard aren't standing for it. That's why the world's in a pickle. And the last thing to do, of course, is when the persecution comes, just stand your ground. And finally, be excited that when the persecution comes, it's not coming because you've done something wrong. Persecution is coming because you've done something right. That is something to be excited about. That is what Jesus says. You are blessed if it comes your way. If persecution comes because you've been righteous, you are blessed. The kingdom of heaven has come. Let me pray with you. Lord, I thank you for these beautiful people. I thank you for the people that you call your own. I thank you that you've given them your righteous standard through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that they take on this challenge this morning, that they would consider, spend some time and think about a cause that really, really matters, and that it matters to you, that it's got a scriptural backing, something that's worth standing for, fighting for, living for, and heaven forbid, but die for. Lord, something that's worth the fight. Lord, I ask that you would grant them wisdom in this time as they begin to think about what they're going to do. Lord, that they wouldn't go out and start a fight, but they would simply make a stand. And Lord, cause a great excitement and a joy to come into their life when the persecution comes. Give them your strength. Give them your courage. Lord, for those who are not yet Christian out there, not yet born again, have not yet given their life to you, Lord, I pray that this day would be one day closer to them making that decision to make you their Lord, turning away from their own standard, their own way of living, and turn to you. Let you become their righteousness. Let you become their Lord. And so, church, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May he lift his countenance toward you and bring you peace. May the name of the Lord be upon you. May all who see you see the blessing of the Lord on your life. May they see your righteous standard and be drawn to God by it. So, church, I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.